It's Saturday. It's 1 o'clock. You know what that means. You're hearing a different voice right now. That's what this means. This is Daryl Grandy, normally the host of the GD Morning Show here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Kind of, sort of pulling double duty here in the host chair for the elephant in the room presented by the Republican Committee of Allegheny County, allegheny.gop, the website for that one, because the voice you normally hear at this level, at this quality here, is he's remote. He's not in studio right now, but he's still with us. The one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Sam DeMarco, joining us via telephone today. Sam, what the heck is going on, buddy?
Hey, Daryl, I am calling in from a secluded, undisclosed location, okay?
And we know why.
It's not that cave I think Dick Cheney was in many years ago, all right? But it is still a secluded and undisclosed location. But I want to thank you for taking on double duty here.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem. I learned from the best.
Yeah, hey, listen, it's great. And hey, folks, also in the studio today, we also have our executive producer, John Schneider. Again, the man, a few words. Also in the studio today, we have the field director from the McCormick campaign here, James Piercy. James, thanks for coming in. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Sam.
We're excited to have you here. So, folks, I'm going to let John, because I told him, I'm going to try to break him out of that shy shell he has. I want him to step up and to start to talk to folks. So I'm going to let John introduce our guest today. He's a frequent guest on our show, and that's because he is such a great Republican. Or I should say Republican. He's a great conservative. He's a patriot. And he's a very learned man. And you are going to enjoy this show, and we're going to learn a lot from him.
Look at this. He's delegating already, John. He's delegating. What a great leader.
He is. Well, it's a pleasure for me to introduce Guy Shirocki, somebody I've actually known since 2004 when he ran the Bush-Cheney statewide campaign here in Pennsylvania. But currently, Guy Shirocki is a senior fellow with the Commonwealth Foundation. Guy is a columnist for Broad and Liberty and Real Clear PA, where he focuses on the politics of the suburbs. He has a frequent radio guest show, a guest across Pennsylvania and in greater Philadelphia with Chris Stegall and Rich Zola and Don Giordano. And has been interviewed by or written for numerous national publications as well as television news programs and podcasts. In 2022, Guy was the Republican nominee for U.S. Congress in PA6, falling short but leading the ticket. From 2014 to 2021, Guy served as the CEO of the Chester County Chamber of Business and Industry. He was a leader in the 2021 Vote Yes campaign, which regained our liberties by amending the Pennsylvania Constitution. Guy, thanks for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, John. I think after that, we have to say goodbye, and it's been a good visit.
Guy Shirocki, ladies and gentlemen. Guy Shirocki. We'll be right back.
Guy will be appearing on HBO this weekend here at,
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Guy, thank you for joining us today. I'll tell you what. Here we are just over 30 days away from an incredibly important election, and there are a lot of things happening. We have former President Donald Trump is visiting Butler here this Saturday on October 5th. And I mean, this race is tight. We just had a debate this past week, just Senator J.D. Vance and Governor Tim Walz. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Where do you want to start, my friend?
Well, first, to make all the lawyers happy, is that as we're going to talk about campaigns and elections and politics and things, I am here on behalf of Guy Shirocki. And the views expressed by Guy Shirocki may not be those of any of the wonderful organizations you mentioned, although they should be. So I'm here to speak for myself. So you want to pick it up with the debate? Why don't we start with the vice presidential debate, which had an audience almost as large as the presidential debate?
Oh, my God. Hello? Yes. Incredible, incredible debate here. I think Senator Vance did a phenomenal job. I mean, really, really great job.
Yeah. I think now that we've had three of these national debates, the Democrats got a do-over from Joe Biden to then insert Kamala Harris. But we've now had three debates where I think it's pretty crystal clear, unless you're a partisan Democrat, maybe even if you're a partisan Democrat, you have to acknowledge that these debates have been three against one. Yet again, despite CBS's assurances that there would be no fact-checking, minimal interruptions, and an opportunity for the candidates to talk to each other, it was, in fact, three-on-one again. There were several occasions where the moderators attempted to fact-check J.D. Vance, interrupt his answers, and give questions to Governor Walz, which were essentially questions. Here's the answer. Now, here's the question. Now, repeat the answer back to me. But despite that, as you said, I thought that Senator Vance was the person that those of us who know him and know people around him, he showed us. He is somebody who has not forgotten where he's come from, who when he talks about inflation or when he talks about crime or when he talks about having to pay the bills, you know that he's talking about it from a situation that he grew up in and can genuinely relate to. I thought his answers were thoughtful. I thought they were empathetic. And I thought he mixed in a good mixture of passion and humor. Governor Walz was clearly nervous, much like Vice President Harris. I thought that Governor Walz had phrases or slogans that he had on a checklist that he had to try to work in. I think when it came to the one tough question he was asked about the revolution or the thwarted revolution in China, I'm still not sure where Governor Walz was. We know he wasn't in China. I'm not really sure where he was because at some point he drifted in riding a bicycle to school in Nebraska. I'm not sure what that had to do with it. So, look, I think J.D. Vance did very well. I think Governor Walz underperformed. And in a race that's going to be likely decided by 1 or 2 points, I think it was a good night for the Republican Party. I think it was a good night for Trump and Vance. And Governor Walz did not give anyone confidence that, heaven forbid, if he were the man in the Situation Room, that he could necessarily handle the stress of the moment. So all in all, a good night. And we pushed forward with 30 some odd days to go, probably with the debates at the presidential level behind us.
Well, you saw the same debate that I did, Guy. I'll tell you what, Senator Vance did a phenomenal job. And, you know, I want to go back and talk about, you know, last Saturday, he was actually in Pittsburgh. He was here for a town hall that he was having in Monroeville, and he had planned to take and make a stop, just get lunch at the Franny Brothers restaurant in North Versailles. And that turned into a bit of a story here because he was turned away and not permitted to go into the restaurant. And I bring that up, and I'll share for the folks exactly what had taken place. But the same calm, cool, you know, the guy never got frustrated, no peak, no nothing, right? But just a very gracious and humble guy. That's the person that we saw last Saturday. That's the person I saw on the debate stage the other night. You know, phenomenal job that he did. And I think he reassured many folks out there, you know, in the Republican ticket that may have been concerned, you know, well, hey, what happens? President Trump is older. If we were to elect this ticket and something were to happen, you know, the number two guy, there's a little bit more interest there, right? So I think that he did a phenomenal job, and I think that it helped solidify the Republican ticket. Hopefully it has brought some more voters, you know, to our side here. And I'm very excited to see where this thing goes further. But hey, for the folks that are just tuning in, that didn't follow on social media, that weren't aware of what took place, as I was sharing, Senator Vance was coming into town for a town hall that he was holding in Monroeville. So the day before, last Friday, I had received notification, and they had said he was going to be stopping for lunch and asked if I wanted to join him as one of the guests. It was a very small group, about 20 people, for lunch. So I said, yeah, well, absolutely. You know, jump at the opportunity to meet the senator and perhaps ask him a couple questions. So last Saturday, you know, met at Permane's restaurant prior to their opening. They opened at 11 a.m. We met at 10:45 in the parking lot where the Secret Service was there and actually wanded us down, you know, checking for weapons. And then we got in line to go into the restaurant, got in the restaurant, sat down, and I was sitting at the bar, and we had two seats at the bar. They even brought a sandwich out for the senator. So about 11:30, the motorcade came down to approach, and as the motorcade pulled up in front of the restaurant, all of the press came into the restaurant, as they typically do. Then they turn around so that they can photograph, you know, the candidate as they walk inside. Well, the manager approached them and told them they had to leave. She forced the press to leave the restaurant, and folks were like, what's going on? Then people started to hear that the manager had said, well, if he gets out of the car to come in, I'm going to call the police. So a staffer from the Vance campaign came in, spoke with the manager, seemed, you know, so head shaking. They went back to the car. Then he came back in. Then she went out, the manager, and went to talk to the police at the front of the motorcade. And I have photographs of a state policeman motorcycle escort who was just looking and said, you know, like in disbelief. She then came back into the restaurant, went to the back. The staffer went back in to speak with her. Then he came out, went back to the car, then finally came back in and told us. He said, the senator is not going to be able to come back in and shake your hands and meet you folks because we've been told we're not welcome. This obviously just set off the dismay among many of the supporters and the folks that were there hoping to meet the senator and speak to him. And then they started to leave the restaurant. But J.D., to his credit, He just had the motorcade pull up, and he exited the vehicle and got out and stopped and shook hands and took photographs with all of the people that were there. And following that, he then, with Secret Service in tow, marched into the restaurant. He came right back out, said he had paid the check, left a very generous tip, and he said he told them, hey, under Trump Vance, there'll be no tax on tips. Please remember that. And then he said, hey, the manager was a bit nervous. It's a good local establishment. But please keep supporting them. And then he left. But incredibly gracious and nonplussed is the way I think you would characterize it. Not frustrated, not angry, no pique whatsoever. And again, that's the same likable, low-key guy that we saw on the debate stage Tuesday night. So I'm just incredibly excited about him. I know some folks were concerned when President Trump first selected him as the vice president's nominee, but he has really turned out to be the guy. And again, just so excited about having him as our nominee.
Hey, Sam, can I jump in real quick on that?
Oh, yes, sir.
You said he greeted people. Were you privy to that? Did you get any FaceTime with him one-on-one, even for a brief second?
Oh, yes.
How did that go?
Oh, it went well. I mean, I got a short period of time with him. I wanted to talk to him about some issues here locally. And, you know, then you get the staffers just shooing you away because he had to go on and get about his his schedule. But, yeah, I did have a few minutes to be able to talk to him briefly and get photos. It was a great opportunity.
So seeing that, I mean, it's between that in conjunction with his performance in the debate on Tuesday, had to be a pretty good night. And as you said, it had to be pretty reassuring for a lot of people on the Republican side about the shape of things, especially in terms of some of the questions that may have arisen about J.D. Vance along the way. It seems like the past 7 days and his composure between the Pomerania situation and the debate seemed to assuade a lot of reassure a lot of people, really, about his candidacy and his role in the campaign.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think you're going to see that more. And I would hope to see the polls moving further in the former president's direction here following that, you know, and we'll see what happens here as the week continues to go by.
So you see that in terms of the vice presidential debate? Because the vice presidential debate, for the most part, especially in this case, between two relative unknowns, is more, obviously they talked about the campaigns, Harris and Trump, but it was really a coming out party for both of them. It was a first chance as American citizens. I mean, you of course, those on the inside know them, and those who are more politically minded know them. But for a lot of Americans, just people flipping the channels and tuning in and seeing what this is all about, this really was their coming out party, and Vance did come across a lot more polished, a lot likable, and a lot more just in tune to what's happening than Walz did. And some of that could be chalked up to nerves on Walz's part. He kind of lowered the bar for himself early on by talking about how nervous he was, but it definitely was a winning performance by J.D. Vance.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Darryl. I mean, Governor Walz has been in office for 18 years.
Sure, he's done it before. He's debated.
He's run for Congress for how many terms?
Sure.
You know, he's been the governor in Minnesota. So this is, this isn't new to him.
No.
And meanwhile, Senator Vance has only been a senator for 2 years.
Sure.
I at first thought that Governor Walz was just trying to lower expectations, but it appears that he absolutely was, nervous, and it certainly showed. But you know what, folks? When you're looking at the person that you're considering voting for to be the number two person, just a heartbeat away from the presidency, someone that may have to handle, very stressful, difficult situations, I think you can't help but have watched that debate and walked away believing that Senator J.D. Vance is far and away the pick that you would select. And that's been evidenced in some of the polls that I've seen. So, no, it was a great debate. It was exciting. And I think that the great thing about it, normally, as you said, Darryl, they don't make much of a difference.
Sure.
In these campaigns, but Senator Vance is such an articulate spokesman, for the Trump campaign. He was able to articulate in many ways some of the proposals and policies of the former president, even better sometimes than the former president has.
To his credit.
Yeah, and I think when he talked about common sense economic policies, and I know Guy will echo those, we'll jump in on those, but that should ring a chord. With the public who, just sometimes just quizzically wonder what the heck is going on, and why is common sense seem to be lacking? What do you say, Guy?
Well, I think as a vice president, when you're running for vice president, the first thing is folks want to look and see is, heaven forbid, if you become president, can you do the job? And I think that J.D. Vance showed being able to talk about everything from the war in the Middle East to the border to crime to the economy, that he was more than comfortable discussing those issues. He brought about them, I think, with a good mix of facts and figures, yet at the same time, how can I put it? You didn't have the sense that he had memorized this stuff and was just spitting it back. So I think he passed that part with flying colors, competence and understanding in the issues. I think the second thing is he showed the temperament. And to your point, Sam, I think the temperament issue began when the whole Permane Brothers issue went viral on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I think the temperament issue started there because, again, I think there you see somebody who is a United States senator, which we're told, you know, is the most exclusive club in the world, one of privilege where everybody opens doors for you and says, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And here you can tell there's a guy who grew up dirt poor, who I imagine at some point in his life may have worked at a restaurant, or his grandma worked at a restaurant, who had that understanding that right away took the leadership to say, we're not going to give speeches. We're not going to yell. I'm going to go in. There's a manager here. The manager's doing what the manager thinks is right. We're not yelling. We're not screaming. We're not picking on anybody. I'm going to go pay the bill. I'm glad to be here in Pittsburgh. And again, I think that was step one of introducing himself to us. And so second thing you want in a president, if he becomes a vice president who might become president, aside from knowledge, next is temperament. Can you handle stress? Now, I don't mean to compare that being closed out of an event at Permane Brothers is like, you know, having to deal with War and Peace. But it is an indication of how you conduct yourself and how you lead others. And it is an indication of whether you, you know, carry yourself. He did not do, how dare you, don't you know who I am? So I think he did that. And the third thing in the debate is that he showed is that he could banter back and forth. He could handle opposing points of view. So what are you looking for in a president? Look, we all may look for certain things, but I think whether you're on you know, a Democrat, a Republican, or independent, capability, temperament, can you handle conflict, and do you think things through? And I think between the Permane Brothers, the debate, his own statements, his responses to questions, I think he came out with flying colors, because at the end of the day, but for someone who may have a very partisan edge, I think even people that may not be voting for him left that experience of last week and those two incidents and said the man could do the job and the man could handle the pressure of the job and the man could lead. He may not lead where I want him to go, but he can do the job. And that is the quintessential, those are the quintessential elements of a vice president. And I think he passed with flying colors.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, you know. So we had him last Saturday, and this Saturday we have the former president himself, you know, coming back to the site where someone attempted to assassinate him back on July 13th. Now, I had a number of folks in the media reach out and call me this week here wanting to know my thoughts on it, you know, Politico, Philadelphia Inquirer, and others. And I told them that I thought that this was a very important visit, you know, that this was an opportunity for the former president to go back to where someone attempted to take his life to demonstrate his lack of fear and the indomitable spirit that the American people have. You know, the spirit that allowed us to defeat the British in the American Revolution, to defeat the Nazis in World War II, to defeat the communists in the Cold War. You know, the spirit that there's no challenge too big for the American people to overcome. You know, and something that was epitomized when the former president, you know, seconds after being shot, you know, with a bullet, rose to his feet there, blood streaming down his face, after he'd been tackled by Secret Service agents, to thrust his fist into the air and to urge his supporters to fight, fight, and fight. And I said, I know how he's going to be enthusiastically welcomed by the folks in Butler there, you know, the folks from Western Pennsylvania that had wanted to hear from the president and who didn't get that opportunity on July 13th. So I'm excited about the president's opportunity to come back and speak to us. I know it's going to put wind into the sails of his supporters and campaign workers, and I know that they'll go forth this last month, the campaign, knocking on as many doors, making as many phone calls as they can, as we hope to take and push him and J.D. Vance across the top here on November 5th, as well as all of our other candidates, like U.S. Senate candidate Dave McCormick.
Hey, Sam, speaking of Dave McCormick, James Piercy is in studio, of course, with us with the McCormick campaign. And we have a couple minutes left to go here in this segment. Wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, everything that's going on here. Of course, we talked about J.D. Vance this past week. In terms of somebody who is part and parcel of the team, who is seeing the ripple effects of what's happening at the very top down ballot as part of the McCormick campaign, what are your thoughts about how all this stuff, as we're wrapping up the first half here, is going into the campaigns like Dave McCormick's?
You know, yeah, of course, you know, down ballot races to a certain extent are tied to, you know, what happens at the top of the ticket with Trump, with Vance. And, you know, Dave has worked very closely with the Trump campaign. He's there at a lot of the rallies, and a lot of their policies, you know, are pretty similar. So, no, you know, to see Vance be successful and go up there and you know, in my opinion, I think he was a clean sweep as far as, you know, beating walls on all the important issues. And, you know, it definitely helps us down ballot.
Good stuff. So yeah, that's the important part of it. You know, we tend to think of these things at the top of the ticket in terms of the presidential level, the vice presidential level, and these do have impacts. These stories, the debates, everything does have an impact down ballot as well. And I know you guys are keeping a key eye on what's happening, just so you know, you guys know how to react and pivot at your level, of course, with Dave McCormick's campaign.
No, absolutely. And McCormick versus Casey, it's one, you know, if you should definitely tune in if you didn't already. And, you know, no, I mean, I think the key point is, you know, Dave is a political outsider. He's someone who isn't, you know, hasn't spent 18 years in Washington, D.C. collecting a paycheck from the taxpayers. He's a business leader. He's a combat veteran. He's somebody that's done at the highest levels of government and, you know, has a true understanding of complex issues. So I think, you know, that'll come out, and, you know, you'll see that in the debate, and we're looking forward to it.
As all part of the excitement of what's happening here, it's that season, man. It's that political season. We're all getting fired up. We're all getting excited about it. Just about a month away from the big day. So we're getting excited at the presidential level, at the senatorial level, and all the way down the ballot, too. So very exciting stuff. Hey, Sam, you're absolutely right, man. When you guys talk, the time flies. I'll ask you, you're the one in charge. Is it okay if we take a break right now, Sam DeMarco?
Hey, listen, I think we got to take a break, and I'm excited. We have a lot of things to talk about when we come back.
Back at it here, elephant in the room, talking Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Daryl Grandy here. I get to be in the Sam DeMarco chair for this. Very exciting because it's a... We the funniest conversations happened during the break. It's very chaotic in here in the studio right now, but it can't be nearly as chaotic as what's happening in the DeMarco household. How are we doing, Sam?
I'll tell you what. Well, I'm trying to survive. You know, you want to talk about things in motion.
Yes.
We've got contractors out here. You know, as you mentioned earlier, we're keeping the economy humming. Right?
Yeah.
We're running heavy equipment. I got HVAC guys moving stuff. I got six dogs barking, and I got a wife yelling at me and waving her hands, and she's not even Italian, okay? So I know I'm in trouble, all right? But, hey, this is very important, you know, that we tape this show so that we can get out to our listeners.
That's right.
Important things here. And
heroically.
In the first segment, we had James Piercy talking to us from the McCormick campaign. Hey, James, how can someone go about helping the McCormick campaign? Where would they go to donate money, to sign up to volunteer? And what are the things that you need?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question, Sam. You know, obviously here in Allegheny County, I mean, this is ground zero for where this election is going to be won or lost. So, you know, I can't understate how important it is that we get Casey out of there. I mean, this is kind of our chance as far as you know, it's this election cycle and this candidate with Dave McCormick. And, you know, you can reach out to me. We're doing, you know, grassroots engagement most weekends during the week now with the election drawing so near. And you can reach out to me at jamesfordavemccormickforpa.com. And, you know, you can also go to our website, Dave McCormick for Pennsylvania, and donate and request a yard sign. And, you know, we'd love to have people get involved. So,
hey, James, do you want to spell that for folks? You know, sometimes folks do the four and it's F-O-R. Sometimes it's
good
just
call.
The number four.
Good call. No, it's James, J-A-M-E-S, at Dave McCormick, M-C-C-O-R-M-I-C-K, 4, F-O-R-P-A.com.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Hey, guys, jumping off something that James said, sort of a jump ball question for James, for Sam, for John, for Guy Shiraki on the phone here. You know, I'm just a morning radio show host. We've got wrestlers and musicians on during the week. So I'm kind of tangentially involved in politics here, but you guys are the ones in the trenches, all four of you. It seems to me like this year, the 2024 presidential election, if nothing else, is probably the most intense election I can remember in a long time in terms of the impact that Pennsylvania, and to a lesser extent, maybe a 1A extent, Western Pennsylvania has. I mean, it seems like every other day, one of the candidates is here. We've had Harris here a couple times this week. Trump is going to be in tonight. Talk about that. Am I right in thinking that for whatever reason, maybe just because of how important Pennsylvania is as that proverbial swing state, am I right in thinking that this year, seemingly more than any other one, Pennsylvania is the most important, therefore it's probably the most essential thing Pennsylvanians could do is to go out and vote?
Well, Darrell, I'll answer your question, yep. And I'll be interested to get Guy's take as well. But, you know, listen, this is, I believe, the most important election of our lifetimes, okay? And Pennsylvania is critical. I believe whoever wins Pennsylvania wins the White House. And
sure.
If Dave McCormick can defeat Bob Casey and win the Senate here, then Republicans will control the Senate. And that means much of President Trump's agenda is into how to restore the economy, how to bring prosperity back to us. You know, that will require a Republican Senate, at least 51 Republican senators, you know, and a Republican House. So this election is extremely critical. Whoever wins Pennsylvania will win the White House and probably the Senate. And therefore, that's why you see these candidates spending so much time here, you know, in Pennsylvania and in particularly Allegheny County. What do you think, Guy?
I agree. Look, I mean, it's practical, right? I mean, there's 50 states plus D.C. There's only a handful of them that go back and forth. And of the states that go back and forth, Pennsylvania is the largest.
Sure.
It's a state that President Trump won by less than a point. It's a state he lost by a little over a point. In a state of 13 million people, you know, with 9 million voters, probably 7.5 million people are going to vote. You throw all those numbers around at the end of the day. If about 40 to 50,000 people change their mind or new voters show up, the race has changed. So why does it matter? There's a handful of states that seem to shift back and forth. Pennsylvania is one of them. We're the biggest, and we were decided by a point. That's why I suspect that you will see Trump, Vance, Harris, or Waltz, or their spouses here probably every week, multiple times a week, maybe between now and Election Day. This is the biggest prize. This is the biggest mover, and as you're trying to get to a majority in the Electoral College, if President Trump carries Pennsylvania, it is almost mathematically impossible. It is almost mathematically impossible for Kamala Harris to get to a majority in the Electoral College.
Sure.
That both sides know it. And what I always say in politics, you know, having been a candidate, having advised people, having studied this stuff for a while, look where they're spending money and look where they are. All the other stuff is noise. All of the snarky comments on Twitter are snarky comments on Twitter. Look where the candidates go. Look where they spend their money. And I can tell you, just like in Pittsburgh, that whether you're watching traditional television and you're watching Phillies baseball or you're watching your favorite shows on Hulu or Netflix, I've got a Harris or a Trump or a third party TV ad about McCormick or Casey during every broadcast constantly. And
right.
The candidates are here just like they're there. So that's why it's so important. The prize is so big and it is equally attainable for both sides. I would tell you I would rather be Trump and Vance. I would rather be Dave McCormick because the other side has got to reintroduce their presidential candidate, has had the media on their side, has had the media help them with their campaigns, has had the media help them with their debates, and it's still essentially tied. And that tells me that the Democrats have thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, and it's still tied. Bob Casey has been a United States Senator for 18 years. He has been in public office. The last time Bob Casey went to a job, a normal job like your listeners, the last time Bob Casey went to a normal, regular job in the private sector, Bill Clinton was in the White House. And so the question for Bob Casey is, what has he done to make things better for us? And why do we have any reason to believe that he's going to help fix the problem? That's why the race is razor close. It's because Dave McCormick is an excellent candidate, but also because Bob Casey can't answer those questions, whether you live in Allegheny County, Westmoreland County, or Chester County. He can't answer the question of what the heck have you been doing for 18 years? And why do I believe if I give you 6 more years, you'll finally figure it out? So It's going to be action-packed. If you enjoy politics, this is the place to be. If you don't enjoy politics, you're probably not listening to this program. But if you don't enjoy politics, you're going to have to put up with 30 more days of this until you get a sigh of relief, because this is the place. They're going to find you on your phones. They're going to find you on your TV. And they're probably going to see a police motorcade somewhere near your neighborhood escorting one of these candidates through. It's going to be exciting.
Don't think we didn't notice here in Western Pennsylvania, you coming on to a Western Pennsylvania radio show and throwing in a sly little plug for the Phillies there. Big ups to them in the National League playoffs as they go through. But you mentioned the campaign, the McCormick campaign specifically, Guy. Talk more from your point of view of what you see going on with that campaign right now as it stands, roughly 1 month away from Election Day. What are your takeaways right now from what McCormick and Casey are doing?
Sure. So, look, I think Dave McCormick has done what no one's been able to do. Bob Casey has run for office 3 times statewide, and Dave McCormick's been able to do something that hasn't been done before. This is a competitive race that's going to go down to the wire. Bob Casey hasn't been confronted with that before. Dave McCormick's made it a tie. I think McCormick's message is pretty basic. It's one, he is an experienced businessman. He's an experienced policymaker. He can do the job. You know, first check mark. Second is, it is much like the national campaign. Things in Pennsylvania are bad. Things in America are bad. The border's open. Gas costs too much money. Our groceries cost too much money. Crime is a problem. The world is unstable. That's pretty easy. And then the third part is just what I said, Daryl. It's Bob Casey's been our senator for 18 years.
Sure.
What is the project you can point to? What is the program you can point to that he's done? What is the harm that he's helped fix? What is the thing he's made better? Look, Bob Casey's a nice fellow, but I mean, he's essentially a rubber stamp vote for the Democratic Party. He has voted with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris 98% of the time. So allow me to quote Bob Casey. When Bob Casey ran for the United States Senate, he went on local TV, he went on national TV and said, if you're going to vote with the president 98% of the time, you're not really needed. So it's 2024. I agree with Bob Casey. If you've done nothing for your state, if you've done nothing to improve our lives, and all you do is vote with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris 98% of the time, you're not needed. I think Dave McCormick's made that case. He's prepared to do the job. He has professional and business experience. He has government experience. Things are rough. We need to change to turn things around. And the guy who's been there for 18 years is not the answer. That's why I think at the end of the day, I'd rather be Dave McCormick, because I think when the dust settles, Dave McCormick's going to the Senate.
And Daryl, you know, here in Pennsylvania, you know, studies have shown that over 60% of Pennsylvanians are living paycheck to paycheck.
Sure.
And between 70 and 80% of them believe that we need change, that this country's headed in the wrong direction. So Dave McCormick is the leader we need. He's here at the right time. Former President Trump is the leader we need in these perilous times. I mean, look what's happening in the Middle East.
Sure.
You know, this could end up being a precursor to a World War III. We pray not, but, you know, it could be, with Iran launching ballistic missiles, you know, in Israel. And what do we have? We have one guy who, you know, I don't know. I don't want to criticize and mock President Biden's faculties, but he's certainly not the guy running things in the White House. And then you have Kamala Harris, you know, the vice president, who's afraid to take interviews. I mean, if she's afraid to be interviewed, does that give you any confidence that she's somebody that could stand up on the world stage and lead us out of a crisis? Sure. And the answer is no.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider. I mean, there are always things to consider, but it seems like now a lot of those things, as you mentioned, the economy, foreign affairs, immigration, as always, are coming to a head. And these, and every election brings with it its own set of unique issues that are dominating the conversation. And it seems like the ones that are facing this country in 2024, as we sit here 1 month out from Election Day, are seemingly more perilous, or at least more fraught with danger for our own safety and security than ever before. And it definitely seems like that could be something that should be on the minds of voters as we head to the polls in a month.
And that's why we need to project strength on the world stage. The former President Trump has done that. You know, and Dave McCormick, you know, is an Army veteran, graduate of West Point, you know, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne, served in the First Gulf War. And this is a guy who has led in combat. This is a guy who's ready.
Sure.
A guy who's ready to lead, and a guy who can deliver for the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
So in terms of some of the other, you know, there are a lot of other races and a lot of other things happening here. What do you see, Guy Shiraki, what do you see in terms of other things happening? We talked about, of course, what's happening with Trump and Harris and by extension Vance and Tim Walz. We talked about McCormick and Casey. What other things do you see happening politically here from your point of view in this state that are going to come to fruition on November the 5th?
Yeah, so first, to me, what comes up next at the top of the list is the control of the Pennsylvania House.
Sure.
The Democrats have a one-seat majority, and without going through the last 2 years, but, you know, we've seen, you know, Sam, we were talking earlier about, you know, Sam having to do work in his house, and that's real life. Well,
yes,
there's real life.
We hear it.
There's real life in Harrisburg, too, right? When you have a one-seat majority, you have 203 House members, and you have a one-seat majority, life happens.
Sure.
We've had members die. We've had members run for other political office. We've had members take other jobs. And the sad part is every time a Democratic member has passed away or taken another job or been elected to another office, or in the case of the gentleman from Northeast Philadelphia, went missing for weeks and no one knew literally where he was, the House shut down its business because the Democrats wouldn't bring the House back. So I think, you know, to state the obvious, when there's a one-seat majority, this is up for grabs and either party can do it. And to folks listening, what's the difference? You say, well, 102, 101, what's the big deal? Well, one seat is the same thing as having 10 seats, is the same thing as having 100 seats, because the majority party picks the committee assignments. The majority party decides what votes are held and what bills can come to the floor. The majority party matters. And so things that we have all wanted to do, that even Governor Shapiro has said he's wanted to do in terms of school choice,
sure,
and regulation reform for business and fracking. Well, we get to see if Governor Shapiro really meant those things if you have a Republican House, because we already have a Republican Senate. So if Governor Shapiro is really for school choice, if he really wants to cut regulations for small business, and he really wants to unleash Pennsylvania's natural gas, give us a Pennsylvania Republican House. Because a Republican House and a Republican Senate will put those bills on his desk. And if he signs them, things will be better for Pennsylvania families. If he doesn't sign them, then we know he's full of malarkey. So that's the one thing I'm looking at and will be following election night, aside from presidency in the U.S. Senate, is the House, because it is absolutely up for grabs. There are some seats in Western Pennsylvania. There's even a seat in Philadelphia that could be up for grabs. So that's one of the things I'm looking at, because it's not simply about power politics or a game. It is literally a one-seat switch to the Republican side will totally alter the type of issues and policies that make it to the governor's desk. And I'd be anxious to see things that are pro-family, pro-school choice, pro-jobs, and pro-American energy. Look, I would tell you that the people listening, even in other states, you're rooting for a Republican win in the House in Pennsylvania, because if we can really be serious about getting Pennsylvania natural gas out of the ground, it's not only great for Pennsylvania's economy, it's great for the nation's, and it's also great for our national security. The world would be a different place if Pennsylvania could produce as much natural gas as we actually could. It would improve our quality of life. And as I always say to folks, even here in the eastern part, when they're sort of, you know, well, the gas is out there and I don't really like gas and I like my electric cars. So, okay, down the road, we're going to have a choice. We can send Pennsylvania natural gas to Germany and Poland, or we can send our men and women in uniform.
Sure.
I'd prefer to send them natural gas so that their lives and livelihoods aren't affected. I don't want to have to send the Army, the Marines, the Airmen, and the Navy over to Europe to protect them from the Soviets, because they have no energy and they're beholden to Putin for that energy. So there's a lot at stake when it comes down to who just controls the House. And so I'll be watching that top of the list right after Senate and President.
You mentioned what you'll be watching on election night. Take us into the Commonwealth Foundation, by the way, commonwealthfoundation.org, the website for more information on the Commonwealth Foundation. Mm. Talk about what the next month ahead looks like for Guy Shiraki. What will you be focusing on? What will you be doing? What initiatives will you be undertaking as we move closer to election day and your end of the thing, and end of the world, besides watching the Phillies?
Sure. Yeah. 4:08 start time on Saturday.
Yeah.
So look, from a policy organization, what you're always thinking about is policy and issues. So two things is, one is the legislature, this current legislature stays in business until the end of November. and we are watching to make sure that bad things don't happen. We were part of a coalition that actually stopped a bill this week in the Pennsylvania House. They were actually going to try and push through some of the Pennsylvania version of the Green New Deal that would actually penalize the use of Pennsylvania gas. I mean, only left-wing people could come up with it. We're sitting on more energy than Saudi Arabia, and the Pennsylvania House was prepared to take up legislation to punish people from using it, to force the rates higher. I mean, you must live in another world to say, you know what the key is to Pennsylvania? Is we should make electricity bills and heating bills even more expensive. So from a policy organization, the first thing you want to do, we're doing, is making sure that nothing nefarious happens before this legislature goes out of existence. And the second is that the plan for the next legislature, the folks will take office in January. And we're laser focused on three things, you know, the economy and jobs, school choice, and natural gas. We're focused on it. And that's why I said earlier, you know, Josh Shapiro likes to tell us, particularly when he visits all of you folks in southwestern Pennsylvania, he likes to talk about sort of jobs, the economy, and natural gas. He doesn't talk about that as much when he's in Montgomery and suburban Philadelphia, but that's another story. But Governor Shapiro had said he wants school choice to empower parents and rescue kids from bad schools. Governor Shapiro said he's the one that convinced Kamala Harris that a fracking ban was bad, and he's the one that says he wants to help businesses. So from our organization, as somebody focused on policy, we're very focused on saying, how can we help craft legislation, and how can we help come on shows like this and others across Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, Philly, and talk about those things? So that's what we're doing right now. One is stop anything bad happening in the next 30 days. But when a new legislature comes in, be able to meet with the men and women elected and say, if you want to work on school choice, here's how you can do it. You want to get more Pennsylvania natural gas out of the ground, here's how we can do it and create more Pennsylvania jobs in the process. So it's sort of like, you know, how can I put, sort of like if we can think back in the day, before you were going to start a new school year and you were assigned summer reading or you had to do a report to turn in the first day, we're doing that reading and preparing that report so when the new legislature comes in, we can meet with those folks and say, here's a roadmap to create jobs, lower cost, and help kids get an education. So it is an exciting time. It'll be especially exciting if there's a majority of folks in Harrisburg that actually want to do those things.
Also, while he's in studio here, joining us, joining the conversation, of course, I want to get James Piercy's take on behalf of the McCormick campaign of what the next month ahead, as we wrap things up here today on the Elf in the Room, what the month ahead looks like for David McCormick as we head to November 5th.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the plan is to barnstorm the state. Dave's going to be everywhere working hard. I mean, he's doing, you know, 3-4 events all over the Commonwealth pretty much every single day.
Wow.
We're on the ground here, you know, knocking doors, putting in the work, and as far as the grassroots, getting up signs and, you know, getting out to where the people are. So it's just going to be long days and, you know, not a lot of sleep, but I think we're going to end up on the right side of things when all's said and done.
Hang on, Sam, I got to do something real quick. Because this is important. John Schneider wants John Schneider wants to talk. So hang on one sec. I got to make sure I got. Hang on. Ready? John Schneider's going to talk.
Oh, geez. All right. Hey, so I just want to piggyback off what James said here. You know, I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and Brent Davis is the county executive up in Erie, Pennsylvania, a county of, I think, about like 260,000 people. The city of Erie is actually the fourth biggest in the state here. But he said, like, nearly after 3 years of as your county executive, I've never once witnessed, met, or have had a conversation with Senator Bob Casey beyond a congratulations on your election chat via phone. I've never seen him personally seen him in Erie County anywhere. He has never helped develop a single capital project, even freshman Senator Fetterman delivered a 2.5 line item project. Dave McCormick has visited Erie countless times, and I'm confident his extensive leadership and experience will be vital to the community and nation. Check out his website below. But I just think that speaks volumes.
Sure.
When I used to work for Arlen Specter, he always bragged that he'd travel every 67 counties every year. So the fact that even, you know, that the county executive in Erie County has never met Bob Casey, I think speaks volumes.
It does. I mean, you know, we see these campaign stops and you know, across the board from the presidential candidates on down. It really does make you take a step back and appreciate how much these candidates, crude term, bust their ass to get the job done for the people, left or right. But it makes you appreciate just the work that gets put in. As you said, Dave McCormick is putting in work. These candidates are putting in work to get the message across. And it just, you know, the pressure it puts on the candidates, the families, everything involved, the support staff, the James Pierce's of the world. I mean, it really does bring to light just how many people it does take the proverbial village to get the ball across the goal line, at least that attempt. And that's going to be part of the excitement for you. Just that, talking on behalf of James Pierce now as a staffer, just talking, it's going to be exciting for you to be a part of all this, doesn't it?
I mean, absolutely. I kind of hinted at it before, but it doesn't get more important than Pennsylvania, and it doesn't get more important than Allegheny County.
Sure.
And, you know, no, I mean, to be here, to sort of see it on the ground, and it's going to be a formative experience, no doubt.
So we're ready to wrap things up here, and I'll help take it home, because how much chaos is going on right now? We need a chaos update from Sam DeMarco and the DeMarco household.
Well, I'll tell you, while we were on the phone here, the Water Authority showed up as well. I mean, oh my gosh. Now there's a truck coming up with flashing yellow lights. I don't know who this guy's from. Okay.
They're hearing you talk right now. They're from the Democratic Party.
USIC, I don't know who that is, okay? But you know, but yeah, it's I can tell you I look forward to next week when we're back in studio together.
Oh, I love
doing
it.
Doing this show. Apologize to our listeners. Guy Ciarocchi, thank you for joining us. James Piercy, thank you for joining us today. And Daryl, thank you for sitting in the big seat, and taking the role here to try to get this show done.
I'm just doing my best Sam DeMarco impression. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, there you go. All right.
All good. Talking Pittsburgh, 1320 WJAS, 99.1 FM, 1320 AM. Again, the elephant in the room, Republican Committee of Allegheny County, Allegheny.GOP. It's been fun. I can't wait for Sam to get back either, but it's been a lot of fun, and we'll catch you right back here in 7 days. Take care.